We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Audacy put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Audacy. Visit ads.audacy.com.
It's Dale Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, on courtesy, rather, of Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, welcome to the show.
I can understand if you don't know who Obi-Wan Kenobi is. Not everybody is a Star Wars fan, but even I know Friends in Low Places.
Yeah, I don't like that era of country music.
Me neither.
I listen to Johnny Cash and Hayes Carl. That's my country roots.
I heard that start to play, and I'm like, where is this going?
that's what we
on
ask
a Victory
most of
Friday.
Time.
I'm yeah. like, where is this going?
Yeah, we're talking about not going to take shots. I'm not doing it. Daryl, what was your number one takeaway from the Browns' win of the Steelers?
Well, number one is thank goodness they won, because we were staring 10 days of manic depression in Northeast Ohio square in the face. So that's number one. Number two, the running game and the physicality that the Browns were able to bring against a team that quite frankly normally brings the physicality to the Browns. And they were able really to kind of turn the tables on them. So the fact that they were able to keep the running game churning along the way that they did last night, led by Nick Chubb, another 100-yard effort from him, I really think that was very impressive.
Daryl, did the defense last night calm some fears that maybe we had going into this game, certainly with the you know, players-only meeting and the miscommunications and things like that?
Well, you could see that there was a very concerted effort last night to make sure that they did not blow any assignments. Saw lots of hand signals, saw lots of huddling going on, even at the end of the game, Dustin, where they lined four or five guys up 20 yards away from the line of scrimmage to make sure that the Steelers would not squirt into the wide open like we have seen both the Carolina Panthers and New York Jets be able to do. So I certainly feel better about that performance. First half, a little concerning. They gave up almost 200 yards in total offense, and then they come back in the second half and they allowed like 111. I just thought that was really, really, really impressive. Forced multiple three and outs. The Browns really dictated the pace and flow of that game, especially in the second half. So all around a pretty solid effort there by the Browns defense to correct some of those communication woes.
Daryl, let's look on the offensive side of the ball here, buddy.
Did I say you something
still
funny?
You still laughing about his
The phrasing, things. Yes.
The phrasing? The phrasing?
Because
I got it too, but I heard you giggling over there.
I had to shut off my mic. All right, Daryl, the offense, very good at footballing the last 2 weeks. Who gets most credit from Kevin Stefanski to Jacoby to the run game?
I think Kevin Stefanski gets the credit. I think he's called a brilliant game these first 3 weeks of the season. At some point, I think people are going to realize he's a pretty good coach. You're not going to win them all. Stuff's going to happen. But he is a good coach. And hopefully at some point, everyone will start to realize that. You know, whatever issues that Amari Cooper and Jacoby Brissett had there in week one have clearly been straightened out. Back-to-back 100-yard receiving games with Amari. A couple of touchdowns from him as well. In fact, I was stunned to realize that he was the first Browns receiver since Josh Gordon back in 2013 to have back-to-back 100-yard receiving games. That was I couldn't believe it. I think that credit all around. But, yeah, Kevin Stefanski is a pretty good coach, and Jacoby Brissett's doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. I don't know that he's exceeding expectations, but he's at least living up to what I expected him to be able to do.
Daryl, has your expectations changed now after watching what we saw last night, maybe for how many wins the Browns could have before Deshaun Watson comes back?
No. The schedule still gets pretty tough here, Dustin. I know we could, ifs, buts, candy, and nuts, and all that type of thing about being 3-0, and they should be, but they're not. They're 2-1. But they're about where I expected them to be. I expect them to win next week in Atlanta. I think they're clearly the better football team there, and they're going to start. I think they'll start 3-1 for the third straight year under Kevin Stefanski. Then things get tough. Then the real challenge begins, just because of the level of quarterbacks they're going to have to go up against, starting with the Chargers, and then moving on down the line there. So they're where I expected them to be, quite honestly.
Daryl, I saw the Kevin Stefanski video after the win where he was fired up. And I loved what he said about the offense, and I loved what he said about the defense, but he then said nice things about the special teams, which is where he lost me. What in the blue hell is he talking about, saying that the special teams in this game were any good, and what in the blue hell is going on with the Browns special teams unit?
Well, Corey Bohorquez did his job last night.
We got one.
So there's that. I mean, that's all I got for you, unfortunately. As far as what's going on, I don't know. The return game has been less than spectacular, but honestly, it's been that way since Josh Cribbs' Browns days came to an end. They can't seem to find quality returns on a regular basis, especially punt returns. I think Bohorquez, him pinning the Steelers back at the 6 and at the 4-yard line, he had another punt inside the 20, I believe, as well. I think that's what he was referencing in that post game celebration.
Do we feel like Prefer will be on the hot seat if he doesn't get better as we go here?
I would think so. I don't see anything in season, but like when the season's over, Dustin, and you go back through your evaluation, I mean, this will be three straight years of less than inspiring is the word I will use, special teams play. So, I think that when the season's over, that might be something that Kevin Stefanski would have to think long and hard about. But, they have been stable for a couple of years now. And I do think it is okay that if, whether it's offense, defense, or special teams, if one of those is not performing up to the level of expectation, then, I think it's okay to think about changing out assistant coaches.
Daryl, we talked about our producer, Keith, trying to kill Terry Pluto last night in the press box earlier. And
you almost killed a legend, Keith.
And he tried to put a narrative out there that it was on you and me for taking up too much space in the press box. I just want to confirm the details here. Keith's chair was almost to the wall, and Terry Pluto almost took a header because of it. Can you at least confirm those?
I can confirm those details. I can also confirm, yes, I took up a lot of space in the press box. I bought a secondary monitor for my laptop so that I didn't have to have two laptops there. So I was actually trying to conserve space, and I guess that hasn't completely worked out. But from side to side, yeah. But between him and the wall is perfectly within his own control.
I support that, Daryl. And you're doing your job, so I appreciate that. And I was just trying to give you guys some space,
So you were backing out of the way.
Yeah. I noticed you didn't do this with any other Cleveland sports legend.
Nick got a soda bath.
That's true. Yeah. Which is also didn't help because I have a bee problem at my house right now. So later on that night, I was what all of Manaway was buzzing about. See what I did there?
I see what you did there. Impressive. Most impressive.
That was worse than the poll you put up.
Hey, don't you talk about my poll like that.
People are not liking the poll, Nikki.
Wait, people are talking bad about my poll?
People are hating on the poll.
I don't see anybody hating the poll.
Why don't you put up a poll and see if people like your poll?
No, I've already put up the poll. I see Will saying Jesus, both are rough, but the song you have to have heard at some point. Ben G saying this is a joke. Who gives a crap about Obi-Wan Kenobi?
Yeah, no one cares.
But 57% of people, I think that's what this is. 57% of people saying you're off your gourd for not knowing who Obi-Wan Kenobi is.
I just like you guys, the fact that you guys are harassing Nick on his birthday, so.
Oh, I didn't want that on air.
Dump it then.
Ha! No, it's not that big of a deal. Daryl, we appreciate you, buddy.
Well, then happy birthday.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
I'm not singing to you.
Not even a little like something husky? Like
no, I do not sing. I do not dance. I do not sing.
Dustin and I weren't going to sing either. We were just running a game of Say Anything.
Yeah, you were just going to try and kill Terry Pluto for me. Yeah.
Daryl, what's your favorite Garth Brooks song?
I'm not a big Garth Brooks fan, so I'm not a big country music fan.
Okay. But you like Star Wars.
But I do like Star Wars, yes.
All right,
Daryl. May the force be with you.
And also with you. Now it's time to talk some hardcore football. Dustin, are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's break it down.
I just want to point out the national media, who continues to say, well, Jacoby's just a backup, but continue to also spur this narrative and to drive this narrative that if Jacoby Brissett wins X amount of games, he's going to have a chance to create a quarterback controversy in Cleveland. I gotta say, I love the zeal that they're trying to use to get this narrative across.
Yeah, not happening. What are people thinking?
Did you read the Florio piece today?
No, I don't really read Florio that much.
So I think he is. I think people mistake Mike for a journalist. He's not. He's a provocateur. There are people that he has there that are journalists, like Sharian Williams is a journalist. Darren Gant, my old buddy who used to work there, that's a journalist. Miles Simmons, a fellow Clevelander, that's a journalist. Mike really isn't a journalist. Mike didn't go to journalism school. He's a lawyer, and he kind of treats this kind of like a lawyer would, which is he drums up some of the conjecture with this. His piece, though, this morning, I think I'm just going to read it verbatim, because that's how damn funny. The headline is, could Jacoby Brissett keep the starting job after Deshaun Watson returns? The answer is no, Mike. That should have probably... I really would have respected Mike more if the body... If that was the headline, and they click into the story, and the thing says no. And then that's all it is. Word count of one plus the period. So this is how it starts. If Cowboys owner Jerry Jones can muse about Cooper Rush possibly playing well enough to keep Dak Prescott on the sidelines, why can't the Browns ponder a similar possibility?
That's moronic.
Well, okay. One, the Cowboys have had a pretty troubled history with Dak Prescott, including paying him late. It's moronic to suggest that Cooper Rush can unseat Dak Prescott, though. So we agree on that fundamental idea.
Yes, 100%.
And here's the other part. Jerry Jones didn't just pay three first-rounders and a few other picks, plus $230 million, plus 6 months of his life where the NFL media has taken him down not just one peg but multiple pegs for trading for Dak Prescott. That's what the Haslams have done. And it's wild to me, like, the whole idea of, you know, Jacoby Brissett versus Deshaun Watson in a quarterback controversy, it's ridiculous just on the contract alone. You know what I think it is, though? I think it is this connecting the dots. It's a way of trying to humiliate the Browns, even though they know it won't happen, right? Like, oh, we're going to think about this outlandish idea, because wouldn't it embarrass the Browns if they had to stay with Jacoby, even though they just traded for Deshaun Watson and all these other things? I think that's what this is. I think it's going to happen after every win, Dustin. And after, if they start out 6-1, it's going to happen after every win, and it's going to be this building thing that we all have to put up with, but even though everybody knows, it's not based in truth.
The one thing I'll say is that Jacoby, after 11 games, is going to be very comfortable in this offense, and probably towards the end of his tenure as starter before Deshaun comes back. And again, if they can go 7-4, I think that would be great. Even 6-5 is great too. There may be some rust on Deshaun when he comes back. And I guarantee you, if they don't play well against the Texans and Deshaun doesn't come out the gates just on fire, there are going to be some dumb people out there that are going to be like, man, they should have just stayed with Brissett. You know that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah. What you just described, because there's twofold. There's people who want, like Mike Florio, who want Jacoby Brissett to play well enough that it's at least a conversation who starts when Deshaun comes back. And then I think the other framing of this, and again, this is probably a little galaxy brain just for Mike in and of himself, but I think the hope is that Deshaun does struggle when he comes back. And it's so weird because I've made it very clear. I think it was disgusting. The NFL allowed Deshaun Watson to be traded and given a contract in facing what he was facing, the allegations he was facing. And before the legal charges were actually handled, I thought that was ridiculous. I don't know that any organization should have traded for him, including the Cleveland Browns, with those allegations up. From a football perspective, trading for Deshaun Watson and replacing Baker Mayfield with Deshaun Watson made all the sense. This wasn't just a football move. But with all that being said, I'm not rooting for Deshaun to fail when he comes back. I'm rooting for Deshaun right now when he's away from the facility to get help and to take it to heart, the help that he's being given right now. Because I do hope that we all, if we all falter, I do hope we all get a chance to rise up from our greatest failure or our greatest embarrassment. There is something fundamentally and uniquely American in that ideal. But like, I'm not hoping that the Browns get embarrassed on that. I'm not hoping that Deshaun Watson gets embarrassed when he comes back. The circumstances that you pointed out, Dustin, might happen. He might have some rust on him. He might not look very good. But my hope is by the time he does come back that he has a much better explanation for his actions and has a clear path moving forward so that he never repeats the things that got him in trouble in the first place. That's what. Why do we have to hope for the worst for people, even though they maybe did some of the things that, you know, some of us would consider to be the worst things?
Yeah, I'm not hoping for the worst for Deshaun. I don't want him to perform well, to perform poorly. I don't want him to not be rehabilitated or whatever, you know, he has to go through to get himself back on track. I'm hoping that he, you know, becomes a great, leader in the community and does all the right things. I really do. Will it happen? I don't know. It's hard to say. And to get people's trust back, it's going to take a lot. And he's going to have to do and say all the right things.
You know, Dustin, it feels like the Browns are like that character in a movie who for most of the movie you think is the good guy, only for them to be revealed as the bad guy at the end. And what I mean is, it's like a Scooby-Doo villain. That's what the Browns feel like right now. Jacoby Brissett, I think there are people rooting for the Browns and Jacoby Brissett so that when Deshaun comes back, it makes that villain turn where all of a sudden it's old man Smithers and he would have gotten away for it if it weren't for you damn kids. I think there are people rooting for that. Rooting for that idea of, well, we're going to root for the Browns now so that with the Deshaun Watson thing, it can be even more embarrassing that we can paint him, I don't want to say him, but paint them being the Cleveland Browns, more as the villains once Deshaun Watson hits the field in week 13.
Yeah, I can see that. Boy, I just, I, I want to see what the team is going to look like after 11 games and what they look like with Jacoby, because that'll determine how people feel about, you know, some of the things with Deshaun when he comes back. Like, look, if the Browns were like 4-7 when Deshaun comes back on to the field, I think there's a lot of people out there that are going to be like, well, we got to go with Deshaun. This is terrible. But like, I don't know. I just think it's going to be interesting to see the conversations that people have. And people, you know, we live in the moment and we're prisoners of the moment at times. But the fact that Jerry Jones even said that Cooper Rush could compete with Dak Prescott is insanity. He had one good game.
Do you think the Browns?
Literally one good game.
Do you think the Browns are destined to be the villains of this season?
I'm telling you, if they go to the playoffs and they win this division, there are going to be a lot of people, not necessarily locally, but like around the country, that are going to be rooting against them. Yes.
All right, let's get some calls here. Sean, welcome to the show, buddy. What you got for us?
Hey, guys. You know, yeah, it's funny because people are already talking about this. You know, I'm 55. My son's 31. You know, we were texting last night, and you know, I was like, yeah, look, Deshaun could come back with only, you know, could just be his head and an arm and the rest be like in a box, and they're going to start him for just because of the contract. I mean, there's just no doubt. But I think the big part of it is that people like Jacoby. I think there's really not a lot of people that like Deshaun. In this other talk about trying to get Ndamukong Suh or whatever that idiot's name is, you know, that would be the worst thing they could do at this point for this franchise, is get somebody like that, because we're just stacking the team with mercenaries. But Jacoby Wan Kenobi, Justin, you got to find. You know who that is. You know who
I really
is.
Don't. I swear to God.
Okay.
I've heard that name. I just don't know what. I mean, I know it's from Star Wars. I just don't know like his character.
That's fine. But anyways, you know, people like him. Thanks. He's a humble guy, and you know, he's got a good story. But you know, maybe if Deshaun comes back and shows some humility or something, he's just like a cyborg. You know, I mean, he's just like, seems like he's got no feelings. He's just like, yeah, I didn't do anything. I think that's a big part of it. And people obviously want the underdog to succeed. And, hey, Jacoby has exceeded my expectations 1,000%. And if they're like 7-4 or 8-4 and Deshaun hasn't played in 2 years, you know, they throw him out there and he, you know, flops for a couple games, it could cost us the season. I don't know. It's going to be a tricky call. It's going to be a tricky call.
We appreciate you, Sean. Thank you so much, buddy. There's a few things there, Dustin. He kind of made mention about how Deshaun is a nice guy and well-liked. I do think, like, in NFL locker rooms, anybody that's played with Jacoby is rooting for him. I don't know how many people around the NFL actually know Jacoby enough to be rooting for him and rooting for a story. I think more likely they're rooting for Jacoby because he's not Deshaun. I think that's more likely than they know anything about Jacoby or know what a good dude he is. And, I mean, we even talked about it earlier. When he made that fourth down conversion and got up and you know, did the flexing and roaring, like, it was tough not to get excited and to get stoked up about that level of passion and love. I don't know most people know that about Jacoby Brissett, though.
Look, he's likable, yes. Amari Cooper, likable. Nick Chubb, likable. The team is very likable right now. When Deshaun Watson comes back, it's going to change the dynamic of what people think about this football team.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.